of Kyros. It was, in fact, the name of a pub to get them to come. I can't get rid of them, actually. Courtney Love was there passing the sherry round. I was going to invite you, but it slipped my mind.
Well, let's meet the eminent members, Noel, of our steering committee today. A musician, an architect, and a comedian, Howard Goodall, Rachel Armstrong, and Nish Kumar. Now, before we find out what they want to put on our plinths, let's put them through their paces. Our first guest, Howard Goodall, is an Emmy, Brit, and BAFTA award-winning composer of choral music, stage musicals, film, and TV scores. He was the first ever national ambassador for singing for the UK. He was named Composer of the Year at the Classical Brit Awards of 2009, and in 2011, he was awarded a CBE for services to music education. On a list of the 50 greatest musical theatre composers of all time, Howard came in at number 20, just ahead of Lionel Bart and Frederick Lowe. He has presented countless television documentaries about composers, pipe organs, choirs, music theory, and on the entire history of the subject from prehistoric bone flutes onwards. But the highlight of his illustrious career must be the fact that he once mimed keyboard with the popular 1980s beat combo Dollar on Top of the Pops. So, Howard, one of the things, one of the many musical genres you're pretty much a master at is the theme tune. So Red Dwarf, Mr. Bean, Blackadder, QI. What do you think makes a good theme tune?
I mean, I think having a good tune is great and it can be instantly memorable for people watching a programme. But actually, one of the things I like is the idea that you might do something not quite expected because you are going to have, in a series, more than one opportunity to hear something. And I think the greatest theme tune for me of all time is Doctor Who. Quite a straightforward tune. But Delia Derbyshire, who was an electronics expert, took that tune and with the very earliest synthesizers known to man, actually created that extraordinary Doctor Who sound. And I'm sure when they first did it, they were going, not sure about this theme tune. You know, I often like to look at what would it be if you came to me with a comedy program, what would the theme be if it wasn't a comedy, but it was these characters in this place? And that puts your brain in a better place to compose the music for it.
Rachel, Howard's, as we've heard, an ambassador for music as well as a composer. And you gave a TED talk, didn't you, on your own specialist subject?
Well, my particular specialism is experimental architecture.
And it's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
I think so. I think we're living at a time where we need different kinds of knowledge to open up the way that we imagine and work in the world. Living architecture and the experimental architecture I'm doing is really about creating a platform. So we're really exploring about, you know, what it actually means to be living in the world right now, and the ways that we think about living may not be the only way that we can go about our business. And we've managed to convince ourselves that there's only one way of knowing. And I don't think that's right.
That is a worry, that the idea that science is the only way of approaching knowledge. Most artists of all kinds are intuitive. There is a kind of a channeling thing, we don't know where it comes from. It doesn't come from logic.
Yeah.
But so, Nish, have you been doing your bit to educate, inform and entertain the public?
You know I have. I am the embodiment of all that is great about the BBC.
But you've given a pleb talk, I gather.
Yeah, that's right.
What are the pleb talks?
Pleb talks were something that, after the first couple of TED talks came out, it was a way of getting comedians just to give lectures about anything that they wanted to do.
The TED talks are advertised as ideas worth spreading.
Yeah.
And the pleb talks are ideas worth nothing.
There was absolutely no useful grain of knowledge contained within any of those talks.
So, Howard, you once told me that your whole head is full of music all the time.
Yes, I mean, I do hear music all the time. Mostly it's music I'm writing at that point. And if I'm listening to someone else's music, I have to sort of turn down the music in my head. I suppose you could describe it as a form of creative tinnitus because it never goes away, and I wake up in the morning or in the middle of the night, I'm hearing music, fully formed, completed music in my
head. Okay, so when we say that, you know, you obviously are a highly creative person, I can vouch for that, but since the music's running anyway, you're really just writing down what's already in your head, so you're more of a reporter, really.
Yes.
So if the music's playing all the time, do you ever catch your brain out, wake up in the middle of the night and just hear it tuning up?
It's so much more productive than what I have in my head, because all that's going on in my head is, I think my flies are undone.